This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
The SEC, Matt Zenitz of AL.com, senior SEC football reporter, joins us now on three-man front, the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. So we get the news yesterday, late yesterday, that Will Muschamp had been fired, even with the non-normalcy, if you will, Matt, a pandemic and what 2020 has brought. There was some normalcy with just big-name boosters deciding they've seen enough and they were going to pony up the money for Will Muschamp to leave that program. How surprised were you when the announcement was made yesterday?
Not really surprised whatsoever. So I'm sure you guys were aware of, there was some buzz about that being a possibility during the course of the last couple of weeks, and it obviously didn't help Coach Muschamp the game going like it did on Saturday with them losing again, especially against a team that, I mean, it's not like they lost to Alabama, Texas A&M, Florida, one of the top teams in the conference, lost a game to a team with a losing record. The move was not a surprise. There have been buzz about that during the course of the last couple of weeks in terms of that being a possibility. And the final nail in the coffin, it seems like, was just the latest loss, which was a three-score loss to a team in Ole Miss that obviously has a losing record, go out and lose 59-42 after having the 45-point loss to Texas A&M the week before. So, unfortunately, even though Will and that staff had done a decent job from a recruiting standpoint during the course of the last few years, there just weren't enough big wins, not enough success on the field to justify them keeping him. So it was not a huge shock.
Matt, when Alabama gets back on the field this weekend, obviously Jalen Waddle will not be there, but you had some information about his surgery and the beginning of his recovery that's actually looking pretty good. What's the latest that you can give us on his status?
Yeah, the outlook is much better for him than people probably would have originally thought when he first got hurt against Tennessee in October. So there's a lot of optimism, a lot of confidence regarding his recovery timetable, to the point that while it's unlikely, let me emphasize that, it's unlikely in terms of him potentially getting back, the optimism is there in terms of his recovery timetable, to the point that there's at least a slim chance that he could maybe even return at some point this year for Alabama for the end of the season if Alabama should make it to the college football playoff. Regardless, the outlook for him is very, very good. And like I said, a lot of confidence and optimism for him coming off what obviously was a significant injury.
In regards to the COVID-19 situation that's been battering the league over the last couple of weeks, what does your inside information tell you in regards to where the Bama numbers currently are?
I just know that around the league is going to be another interesting week. So obviously last week was a very challenging week from a COVID standpoint, to the point that had more games canceled, postponed, than had games actually played, have already had a game canceled, postponed this week in Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and we'll find out more about not only Alabama, but teams around the conference as a whole today, because they'll be getting the testing numbers back from the testing that I believe all of the teams around the conference did yesterday. So I think we'll have a better feel throughout the course of the rest of the morning, the early part of the afternoon, for just where things stand coming out of that most recent round of testing for everybody.
All right, Matt, when we look at the Heisman race, Kyle Trask, he continues to put his resume together as one of those guys who should definitely be considered, some people considering him now the front runner. 28 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. If you're voting today, does Kyle Trask get your vote for the Heisman Trophy?
I know Kyle Trask is kind of like the football what Cole Kubelik is to the Peloton, just absolutely dominant and just killing it on a regular basis, and obviously had his latest great performance the other day, where through this point of the year now, I think has the most touchdown passes through 6 games in SEC history among quarterbacks, surpassing a couple guys who obviously were terrific players recently in Tua and Joe Burrow. So there has been one game this year where Kyle Trask has had fewer than 4 touchdown passes, and what makes what he did Saturday even more impressive is not only that he did it against a defense that's obviously done some very good things throughout the course of the year, but that he did it without his top weapon, arguably the top overall player on that team, in Kyle Pitts. And even without Kyle Pitts being in there, puts up 6 touchdown passes or whatever it was and has his latest terrific performance. So it'd be hard to go against him at this point, but at the same time, somebody like Mac Jones has a legitimate case also. But I think the best way to put it is you have two SEC quarterbacks playing at an extremely high level, to the point that both of those guys through this point of the year deserve a lot of consideration for that award, but still have a lot of season left to go.
I want to go back to what you just said about the SEC scheduling and that it may be an interesting week. If there's only one other team maybe that ruled another game out, but only one team had an issue, how different from top to bottom would you anticipate the SEC schedule might then look with the SEC office coming in saying, all right, we've got another team out. We're not just going to let those two teams sit. We're going to revamp the entire thing based on who can play.
I don't know. There are crazy things that could happen. I just know we was doing a little bit of digging last night and trying to get a feel for where things stood with some of these teams that had the COVID issues last week and had games coming up against teams that had some of those problems. And I just know from like a Mississippi State perspective, for example, Mississippi State had had issues these last couple of weeks. Somebody that I talked to on that side felt good about their chances of getting their game in this week against Georgia. Some of the guys who had been out for them, they were expecting to get back, combination of today and tomorrow. From LSU perspective, it seems like based on my most recent conversation with somebody over there that they were expecting to get guys back during the course of these first couple of days of the week and that they would have a shot at playing. So I'm just hoping as much as possible that we don't even need to worry about some of that stuff and that can play the schedule as much as possible as it's set to be played right now. But obviously each day brings new challenges in this crazy year of 2020, and obviously things can change pretty quickly in terms of testing and results, and probably the biggest challenge of all for teams around the country and the conference in contact tracing. So with like Texas A&M, for example, Texas A&M last week only had two guys that had tested positive, but because of contract tracing, had a large number of players knocked out, including some prominent ones, that would have put them in a really difficult spot if they had been forced to play.
Matt, how surprised are you that players like a Kevin Harris at Alabama enters the NCAA transfer portal, knowing that you've basically got a free year, and what would be the purpose of transferring now, especially on a team that's ranked number one and could win a national championship?
Yeah, I was just having a conversation with somebody about that yesterday. The biggest benefit the guys doing it right now is that you get a head start on recruiting. And when it comes to transfers, there are only so many spots that the teams have available for guys transferring in. So that would be the benefit to doing it. At the same time, for somebody like a Kevin Harris, it's a little bit tougher of a move to justify just because you're part of a potential national championship team that's obviously doing really well, and you would think that it would want to stick around and have a chance to compete for a national championship. But at the same time, whether it's football or different parts of life, at certain points you need to think about just what's best for you individually, and I'm sure the motivation for him was just getting a head start on the recruiting process and trying to figure out early on what the best landing spot would be for him. With him specifically, the main school that's been mentioned at this point is Georgia Tech, which is less than an hour away from where he grew up, and there's definitely some early buzz that could be the transfer destination for him, even though there hasn't been a final decision made as of yet.
Matt, I want to go back to something you just said about contact tracing. You mentioned Texas A&M and having the two positives, but due to contact tracing, unable to play. UAB with three players that tested positive, but an entire secondary wiped out because of contact tracing. Just based on buzz that you hear, any modifications that we can expect, maybe the NCAA and we start looking at protocols and readdress what contact tracing is so we don't have as many cancellations, God forbid, if this runs into 2021 in the college football season?
It doesn't seem like there's a lot of optimism at this point from the people that I've talked to that there are going to be significant changes made in terms of the contact tracing deal. So at this point, there's a lot of frustration, as I'm sure you guys are aware of, from coaches, different figures around the conference in terms of the contact tracing part of it. But unfortunately, I'm just not sure how realistic it is that there are going to be significant changes made to the point that people are going to be happier with it. But obviously, when you look back at a situation like Nick Saban going into the Georgia game, he had the false positive and was able to test his way back into being available for the game. And unfortunately, there's just a different setup in terms of things from a player standpoint compared to what there is from a coaching standpoint, which adds to that frustration around the conference.
All right, Matt, so we're going to get Alabama back on the field after 2 weeks off. What will be most different about this team when we see them against Kentucky Saturday afternoon than what we saw a couple weeks ago?
The biggest thing I'm looking at going into this game is you have a Kentucky team that doesn't get talked about as much as the Alabamas, the Floridas, the Texas A&Ms of the world. But, I mean, they have a decent defense. They have, I want to say, still the top scoring defense in the country. I know at the very least the number one pass defense in the country. So, for me, one of the most interesting things I'll be looking for going into this game is just how this Jalen Waddle-less passing game receiver group does against a Kentucky secondary and pass defense that's been very good through this part of the year. I think it'll be one of the more interesting things to watch, to go along with the fact that Mac Jones has a history with Kentucky. There's a connection storyline there. And again, a secondary that will at least provide some challenges for him and give people around the SEC a gauge for just how good this Alabama passing game is, even without Jalen Waddle at this point, and just whether they're still at that same kind of level.
Yeah, number one pass defense in the SEC, number two in scoring defense in the SEC. It's hard to look at national numbers right now because you get teams that play one game, two games.
They have some talent on that defense, probably more talent than the casual fan would realize. They have some next-level guys there, not saying first, second, third round or anything like that, but they have – in the range of double-digit guys on that roster, with a lot of them being on the defense, that they're going to get a chance when it comes to the next level. So probably be at least a more respectable, challenging opponent than most people would think when they think of Kentucky and that defense.
He's Matt Zenitz, AL.com, at M. Zenitz there on Twitter, who covers the SEC, senior reporter there at AL.com. Matt, we always appreciate it. Good information. Be well. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. I'm surprised you guys didn't have a comment on my little tidbit about Cole and the Peloton.
Oh, they know. They just don't know. They just don't know how bad you are at the Peloton. I haven't told them that.
Well, I'm terrible at this point.
Is he really bad?
Can't even hide that. So Cole's my Peloton mentor at this point. So I just need to get my output number anywhere in the range of where Cole is. So I'm at like the 250, 300 mark right now. I have to like triple that before I'm even close to Cole's level.
Well, at least you're aiming high, Matt. Aim high. Good luck on the Peloton, your journey there. And Cole, I'm sure,
appreciate
will help you along the way.
Get that sweat going.
Matt Zenitz. AL.com joining us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline, an easy drinking hard seltzer. Just 2 carbs and 100 calories. Try it in strawberry, lime, mango, black cherry, or grab the variety pack.
This is Three Man Front.